Abigail Gray, you are a very well-known estate agent, been in the business now 20 years. I want to talk to you about your story of why you became an estate agent. So when did you originally become an estate agent? What made you say, I want to sell houses and let houses?
I had left university and hadn't managed to finish and didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. So working for a publishing company to sort of tide me over, and I couldn't get any further in that career. And there's
what year was this?
That would have been 2001.
Okay.
2001, and there was a conversation between myself and my dad, who was an estate agent, and that was a career that I'd always known growing up. And I'd spent lots of Saturdays and school holidays working at the company. And we had a conversation. We agreed that after Christmas, I would go and start work for him. So it was a new challenge. I don't know if in January 2002, I thought I'd still be there in January 2021. But
so it was your dad's business.
It was my dad's business. Now, yeah.
If memory serves you well, your dad originally set up his agency, is it in the 70s and the
80s? Early 80s, he bought into a business.
And then got bought out
by the Prue,
like many agents. They spent loads of money on that one. I think everyone was buying agencies then. Then I'm assuming that then the Prue sold on to someone else, didn't they?
Woolwich.
Yeah, the Woolwich, which then became Hart. So by which time he'd been
bought out. Just a little while after it became Woolwich, he decided corporate estate agency wasn't for him. He didn't like being told what to do. And went and set up his own company again.
So what year roughly was that then?
1991.
Okay. So you joined him after roughly 10 years
yes.
of being in business. So you were in your early 20s?
I was, yes.
Okay. So did you start at the bottom?
Absolutely. I made the teas for everybody.
Photos on the brochures.
I think we just started using digital cameras then. And we were just getting the internet and we had a few computers. But I still had my hot box. And I was basically told, here's a list of properties. There's a phone. Off you go.
Okay. So how did it work? How was it working for your dad? Because again, you know, you have a certain relationship with your dad outside the business, which is what a normal relationship with your dad is. How did that work with being a family member in the business?
It was quite painless. I mean, you hear horror stories about family businesses, but my dad showed me what to do. And there were other people in the business who also trained me to do various things, but he left me pretty much to get on with it. And if I came and asked for his advice, he'd give it to me. Or if he saw I was doing something wrong, he would tell me what to do. But there was it wasn't very difficult to move between the family home and the family business.
So you're still living at home?
I was still living at home at that time, but I was itching to get my foot on the property ladder.
Okay, so when did you buy your first home?
2003.
Okay, in London. So prices were beginning to rise.
Yeah, I bought a flat for £155,000.
I wonder what it's worth now.
About 300.
There you go. When did you send you out valuing then?
I moved into valuing lettings properties after about 2 years, I would say.
Okay.
Because when I started, I did both sales and lettings. And then I started trying to value houses for sale, which I found very difficult. And I found it very unnerving, and I wasn't very confident when I would go around and give people values. And I think at 22, 23 then, I was just too young to be going around to value a property for sale. It was fine for rental because that's where my life was. My friends were renting. Yeah. I'd done a bit of renting and I understood that process. So what actually happened was I was sort of suggesting to my dad that he was making very bad decisions on the people he was employing for lettings managers, and he got so fed up of me complaining about the people he was hiring that he just lost his temper and said, well, if you think you're so good, you have a go at it. And I was like, well, so am I the lettings manager now? So I became the lettings manager.
Did you prefer lettings then at that more than estate agency at that point?
I liked matching people with houses to homes to buy. That really made me feel good. But lettings in terms of the client care and the nurturing of both the landlords and the tenants was very natural to me.
Okay, so you're in your early to mid-20s now. What were your hopes and dreams? I mean, you were 05, 06, then we had the crash in 07, 08. What made you stick there? Was it just because there was no other job, so you thought, well, I may as well stop here?
I guess yes, I enjoyed the challenge. I mean, I worked really hard. I worked my ass off. I mean, I was easily banking 50 hours a week from a fairly early start.
Were you married at this point?
No, I didn't get married till 2015.
Okay. So just putting your head down and working hard, how did the crash affect the business?
It slowed down the sales side of the business, but we'd built a really healthy management portfolio by then, and that weathered the storm for us. I mean, that very much became our bread and butter, and that was when the business started to change in terms of the balance of money coming in from lettings
So more of a lettings than a sales.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's at that point it switched.
Had you, at this point, had you, were 08, 09, had you seen this still as a temporary thing?
No, but I guess I didn't really know what else I was going to do. I didn't think about it, to be honest, very much. I didn't plan for the future. And I mean, my dad would occasionally ask me what I wanted to do. And I think he was sort of asking me whether I wanted to buy into the business. And I was a bit aggrieved at thinking that I'd have to put my hand in my pocket to buy into a business which I thought I'd worked my arse off for. But I was, you know, I was well remunerated for the work that I put in. But I didn't really think about it being long term. I had a bit of a pipe dream in the back of my mind that my dad would sell out. He'd been approached by a couple of corporates to buy the management portfolio. And I thought, well, if he sells out, I'll get a chunk of change from that. Not that we'd agreed it, but I imagined that he would give me something. And then I'll go and I'll have my couple of properties. I'll leave them all managed, rent coming in, and I'll go off to India and I'll train to be a yoga teacher. That's what I thought I would do.
That was your dream.
I don't even know, but I like the idea of that.
You're
it seemed
into
like
yoga,
a nice
idea.
Yeah, I like yoga, yes.
Oh, good stuff. I'm a bit of a practitioner myself. Honestly, I do it once a year with the round table. It's good fun.
Okay.
I tell you what, my downward dog is. There you go. Anyway, back to the point. So you now got into the early 2010, 2012,
yeah.
2013. Were you just going through the motions of life?
I mean, I think we were building up our management portfolio. We had a couple more staff. The team was growing a bit. But I think we'd reached a plateau by that point in terms of our systems and processes weren't developing. And we were going through the motions. And I think that was partly because my dad was very content. Enough. He only wanted for what was enough. And
knowing you, that's not you, is it?
That wasn't me, but it was his business at that point. And it was, I think it was 2008 when I became a director of the business. But still, I was so busy running the lettings and property management part of the business that I didn't really have time to think about what was going on outside. I was just maybe concerned about where we were going to go on our next holiday and how I was going to leave the business while I was on holiday.
Do you think that was almost too short-sighted of you?
Absolutely. It was a big mistake not to think about what I wanted and
so
where we were going to take the business.
You were almost freewheeling, just, you know, enjoying the decent wages. Dad was running the business and you were just, by each time you must have been in your early 30s.
Was I?
Late 20s?
Late 20s, yeah.
Okay. Still not married?
Still not married, no.
Okay. You were just getting on with life, just taking these.
I was enjoying the downtime that I had when I wasn't at work, but I just hadn't thought about where we were going to go with it. I really hadn't. I guess I still thought at that point that we might get bought out.
Then what happened in 2014?
Then my dad got diagnosed with a terminal brain tumour and he was given 6 to 12 months to live. And it was a massive shock. And I had to learn how to do certain things in the business overnight. So when he got diagnosed, he was very, very confused and they gave him some steroids to take down the swelling. But that took a while to take effect. And one of the things was it was towards the end of the month and I had to run the payroll and I'd never run the payroll before. Thankfully, my dad was very methodical and he had everything, all these handwritten notes and he had a handwritten spreadsheet. So I was able to use that handwritten spreadsheet to run the payroll. But it took me like 24 to 48 hours to turn it around. And I just thought, I cannot be doing with this. Like, we had to change this. It can't be done on paper like this. So next month I ran an Excel spreadsheet, but I had to learn to do all sorts of things that I'd never even thought about. I knew they were there in the business. You know, I knew about paying suppliers because occasionally I would get involved in doing that. But thankfully I had access to the bank and I was able to do a lot of these things. But it was a bit like a crash course in running a business in terms of just the daily machinery of it.
So obviously your mother was dealing with your father.
Yes.
Your father wasn't very well. How did that affect you emotionally?
I think for the first few days after he was diagnosed, I felt like I was in a black hole. I kept going through the motions because I had to go to work for some of that time. You know, he had hospital appointments and stuff, and we would all, like myself, my mum and my sister, would always go with him. But when I wasn't doing that, I still had to go to work. I still had to turn up and make sure things were ticking over for him, right? It was his legacy, and I couldn't let him down.
How were the staff at this point? Were they supportive of you?
Very, very supportive, very supportive. I mean, a lot of the people that were working for us then still work for us now. So it's very much a family business, not just in the Gray family, but we have a family of people that work for us.
Fortunately, your father passed away.
Yes.
Please accept my condolences on that.
Thank you.
Was that swift or?
No, he surpassed all the doctor's predictions and was alive and kicking till mid 2016, and he got to see both my sister and myself get married and have babies. So a lot happened in those 2 years. But he lost his fight with cancer, as we knew he would, and passed away in June 2016.
How has that affected you as a businesswoman? Obviously, I can see by your body language and the way you're talking that obviously affected you as a daughter. It will do.
I think it made me realise then, it was like a light bulb moment. What were we missing in the business? And what would have happened had I not been working there and have some understanding of the business? We would have been in serious trouble. And there was a massive need for building in systems and processes. And it was like, it was a wake-up call for me because I realised then why people would make mistakes. First of all, we're human, we always make mistakes. But there was a second reason. Why would members of the team make the same mistake time and time again? And I realised it wasn't about, it was about training, but if there was no written point of reference for them, how were they able to remember it? Not everybody can remember things in minute detail. And not with all the things I have to balance at work. So that's when I realised we needed systems and processes and things had to be written down, because if anything happened to me, we'd be screwed.
And you're not the first person to say that. John Paul, you know, his father ran a very well-known engineering business, but without him, because everything was up in his head, it went to pot.
I know.
And would you say that if there's any estate agents or letting agents watching this, just systemize.
Absolutely. The first thing is, I mean, we're still doing it now. We still haven't got it down to a fine art, but we're working on it, you know, continuously. And it is always going to be a continuous work in progress.
Apart from losing a father, has your father's death made you a better businesswoman?
Yes, I wasn't a businesswoman before. I was an employee. I was an employee who's called a director.
What have you learned? Apart from systems, what have you learned that people watching this could learn from?
I think I'm still learning. I think one of the things I learned was that you will never know everything, and you have to constantly be challenging yourself and growing and developing the people around you, because without the people around you, you're nothing.
And what's the future for you?
I'm still trying to work that one out. I mean, I know a lot of people have five-year plans, and I have some five-year plans. I don't know about exit planning. I'm not quite there yet. But in terms of what I know, it's about developing my own leadership skills, developing the leadership skills of the people in my team, and hopefully bring in some newer, younger recruits and training them as well, and getting all these young people to love a state agency in the way that I do. Because they'll be the future estate agents.
Well, I just want to say on a personal note that I've known you now for 4 years. I think you are an ambassador for women in estate agency. And all I ask you is to keep doing what you're doing. The industry love you to bits and keep banging away. That's all you can do, babe.
Exactly. Yeah, keep on trying. Keep on chugging.
Thank you.
Thank you.